Today is the day of our annual meeting, which we had between 10 o'clock to 11 o'clock between our services today. And so today is a little bit different in my preaching. Instead of sort of what you would normally look at as preaching or a homily, I want to talk a little bit about the parish and on this annual meeting and where we find ourselves and give thanks to you for all that you do to make St. Paul's what it is and who it is. Want to talk a little bit about our parish and put it in some context, because what we're experiencing here at St. Paul's is quite a unique experience in the context of a larger Episcopal church. You may read the news or follow things about religion and churches, but the Episcopal church, our denomination, has been experiencing a decline in membership over the last 10 years. It breaks my heart because I think this is such a great, great community of faith, the Episcopal Church, but it's going through a time of a little bit of decline. And for instance, in the year 2000, there were 2,329,000 Episcopalians. In the year 2010, there was 1,951,000. That's a 377,000 member decrease, almost 20% decrease of membership. Just between 2009 and 2010, there was a decrease of 54,000, a little over 4% decrease. Now, there's lots of conversations we can have about why that is and what's going on and what caused that, and there's all different ideas about that, and we can certainly do that at another time, but my point today is to kind of put this in some sort of a context. In those 10 years, as the larger church has experienced a decline in membership, there are five dioceses that have actually experienced an increase. Only five dioceses out of 100 dioceses that are part of the domestic diocese of the continental United States. There are dioceses also that are part of the Episcopal Church in other parts of the world. Haiti, for instance, is a diocese of the Episcopal Church, and others as well. But there's 100 that are part of the continental United States. And only five of those experienced growth in the last 10 years. And they are the Diocese of Tennessee, if anybody's from that area, 10% increase. The Diocese of South Carolina, which is the southern part of South Carolina, experienced an increase in membership. Third, the Diocese of North Carolina. We've experienced an increase in growth. Actually, in the last 10 years, our Diocese of North Carolina has experienced an increase of 2,245 new members. And I'd like to suggest that we had something to do with that here at St. Paul's, because we've been experiencing growth continually through those 10 years. Also, the Diocese of East Carolina, which is the eastern part of the state, experienced some growth. And interestingly, the fifth is the Diocese of Alaska. Interesting. The Episcopal Church, what we call the Episcopal Church, as you know, is divided into dioceses. There are 100 dioceses that make up the Episcopal Church. But besides dioceses, there's also regions of the country. And those regions are referred to as provinces. So New England is a province. New York and New Jersey is a province. The Mid-Atlantic states are a province. The Southeast, where we find ourselves, is a province. And there's the Midwest, the West Coast. And there's 8 provinces. 8 areas. One of the things those provinces do together is oftentimes the bishops of those provinces get together and gather for support and also to see where the church is in their part of the country. Interestingly, we are in what is called Province 4, which is the southeast part of the country. Southeast part of the country. And actually, our province is the largest province in the Episcopal Church. We are living in an area where there are more Episcopalians than other parts of the country. There are actually 474,000 Episcopalians in the southeast. We'll go through all the provinces, but Province 3 is the next largest, which is Pennsylvania, Northern Virginia, D.C., and Maryland. There are 313,000 Episcopalians. And then on to the West Coast, where there are 240,000. And on it goes. On it goes. The 10 largest dioceses in the country, there are 10 that are the largest. The first, actually, is always a surprise. The largest diocese in the Episcopal Church is Haiti. the Diocese of Haiti. There are 86,000 Episcopalians in the Diocese of Haiti. And it's one of the reasons that when the tragedies hit Haiti, we were able as a church to respond. Because we had connections, we had links to churches and the bishop and different communities there, which gave us the ability to respond in a very positive way. Those other large dioceses are the Diocese of Virginia, north of here, if any of you have moved from that area. There are 79,000 Episcopalians in the northern part of Virginia. The Diocese of Texas. Everything's big in Texas. This is the Houston area of Texas. Texas has a few dioceses, but the Houston part is the Diocese of Texas. The Diocese of Massachusetts, which is the eastern part of Massachusetts, home of the Red Sox. The next largest is the Diocese of New York, home of the Yankees, with 60,000. Then there's the Diocese of L.A., the first diocese of Connecticut. The next is the Great Diocese of Atlanta, with 51,000 Episcopalians. The next diocese is that Long Island up in New York. And the ninth largest is the Diocese of North Carolina, with 49,000 Episcopalians. And the tenth is the Diocese of New Jersey. The smallest diocese is actually the Navajo Missions, which has 597 Episcopalians. The Diocese of Northern Michigan has 1,724. There's actually more parishioners here at St. Paul's than there are Episcopalians in the Diocese of Northern Michigan. It's kind of interesting, the variety of church. I just throw out all those numbers to you, and you may find it interesting and engaging, or maybe you don't. But put in that context, what are we experiencing here at St. Paul's? What we're experiencing is something rather unique, in that we are a thriving, growing parish. And I think there's reasons for that. There's many reasons for that. But I want to highlight a few that I think are contributing to our growth. Not just in numbers. It's not just about numbers. It's about depth. It's about depth of the journey, depth of our faith. And I think here at St. Paul's, with our growth in numbers, we're also able to add to our depth in what we offer as a parish. Just a few ministries to highlight. Just so you know, sometimes we're all connected to certain parts of the life of St. Paul's. There are 2,000 of us here at St. Paul's, 2,000 parishioners, and oftentimes connected to various parts of the parish. And I want to give you a bit of an overview and perhaps some information about areas you may not be that familiar with. Our children's ministry, which is the ministry for our children up to and including the fifth grade. Christine Ingram is our director of children's ministry. Thanks to your gifts and stewardship last year, we were able to make that a full-time position. Christine's position became a 30-hour full-time position in July, and it has made a big difference in our children's ministry. Our Sunday school program, which is part of children's ministry, there are 165 children registered in our Sunday school program. In the fall of 2010, we averaged about 69 children in attendance. In the fall of 2011, we averaged 82. So you can see this continuing growth in our Sunday school program. And that is also supported by 27 Sunday school teachers who come forward in teams of three. They work in teams of three and work with our children. And our thanks go to those teachers, without whom we wouldn't be able to do any of this. This past fall, we had to actually add another class. Our school year began, and we realized we needed another class. And we invited some people to teach, and they took it on, and we sort of divided up our classes a little bit. So it's exciting things. Our children's chapel. You see the children process out of church on Sunday at both the 9 and the 11:15. Between the 9 and the 11:15, there's an average of 60 children who take part in our children's chapel. And it's a wonderful program that we do with the children. And there are 20 volunteers who help teach with that. Thanks again to those of you who volunteer to do that. This year, we're adding another component to children's chapel. The clergy, Lauren and Sally and I in particular, are going to go to the children's chapel on the first and the last Sunday of the month and work with the older children and do some things. We're also revamping our children's chapel to make it kind of age appropriate. Not that it's been age inappropriate, but we're trying to divide the ages and because it's growing so much, and we're looking for ways to be creative with that. We had a children's clergy forum, I think I told you about. We had 60 children come to the forum, along with 65 adults, asking these heavy philosophical questions about where did God come from and who made God and where does Jesus live and just wonderful questions. Tough to answer sometimes, but great questions. We're doing that again in April, another clergy forum with the children. Our Vacation Bible School had 160 children participate this past summer. That's an all-time record. And we had 100 volunteers make that a possibility. And the great thing about Vacation Bible School, it's one of those ministries that reaches out to the community. We have lots of children from the community who come to St. Paul's for that Vacation Bible School. We also have Kids Club, which is our kind of our daycare, our nursery that takes care of children. While we're at church right now, there are children in Kids Club. And as you know, if you have your child up there, they have your cell phone and they page you if anything is needed. There's always communication going on. We provide that for not only Sunday services, but when we have events and things going on in the parish, when there's choir rehearsals certain nights of the week, we have childcare provided. Such a big part of our membership are families with young children. And so to enable them to participate more, we provide this childcare. All of our staff who work in our kids club, they're all screened, they're all trained, they all have CPR and first aid training as well to be with our children. Our youth ministry is for children 6th grade through 12th grade. And one of the great things we've been able to do this past year is welcome Lauren as our associate rector for youth ministry. Lauren joined us in August and as a deacon and was ordained a priest, which we all celebrated together. And Lauren has made just a great gift to the leadership of our youth ministry, joining with all those other leaders, adults who've been a part of youth ministry, but forming a really great community. And it's just a great gift to have that priestly presence with our youth. And our youth program is a fairly large youth program. And it is beginning to grow, not only the educational hour between services, but also on Sunday evenings as our youth gather together. Our preschool continues to be one of the best in Western Wake County. As you know, we were voted the best a few times in the local newspapers. Mary Catherine Troxler is our preschool director. There are 100 children in our preschool, and we have 25 staff members, 25 teachers, teacher's assistants who work in the preschool through the week. If you're not here during the week, you know, this education building is hopping. The parking lot's active with parents dropping children off, picking children up, and it's just a great, great program. We've had a decrease in numbers of children registered this past year, and we're seeing that is not uncommon to some other preschools in the area. There's some ideas that could be because of the economy. We're not sure of that, but we're looking to continue to grow and increase the membership of our preschool. So between the preschool and here at St. Paul's, we have close to 40 staff who work here at St. Paul's, who are part of our life here together, and we're proud of all of them. Our music ministry also, we welcomed Rob Varner as our music minister a year ago. He's beginning his second time through the year. The first time is always an interesting challenge as you walk through for the first time. But walking through the second year, and we've had a couple new groups formed in our music area, the guitar ministry. Our drama team has been formed. We'll see some of that as the year goes on. Every choir and music group had someone new join this past year, and that's always an exciting thing to see, new people feeling drawn to become part of that ministry. So we're excited about our music ministry as well as it grows. And the reason I mention all those is because of your support, what you contribute through your stewardship of treasure supports our operating budget, which makes it possible for us to have these kinds of staff positions supporting the various ministries. We could not do it alone with just volunteers. We depend on volunteers, but some of these programs are of such a size. As I've said oftentimes, some of our ministries have a number of people involved that are larger than some parishes in our diocese. We have some ministries with 150 people involved. There are some parishes in our diocese that aren't that large. And so we need to have a staff person tending to that, particularly staff with background and training in that field. One final area I'd just like to end with, and there's so much about our ministries. I'm highlighting a few. Our annual report package has reports on so many of our ministries. As I mentioned, there are 60 ministries here in the parish. I've just mentioned a handful. But the one that I find really helpful and I'm appreciative of is the Pulse Ministry. The Pulse Ministry. A few years ago, I kind of sat down with a few people and we came up with this idea of throughout the year, having a handful of people who would make phone calls to people in the parish. The hope was that everyone in the parish would get a phone call at least once a year. A simple way of checking in, a kind of a, how is it going? Are there things about St. Paul's that you're finding really exciting and rewarding? Are there things you have observations about the parish you'd like to share with us that would help us? It's three simple questions. Sometimes the conversations last a few minutes. Sometimes they last a little bit longer. Hopefully, you've received some of those phone calls. Those callers then record the observations and comments. And every month or two, I get a stack of these surveys, and I get to go through them. And it is extremely helpful to kind of see things kind of come to the top, things surface. In a way, we are always surveying ourselves. We're always surveying ourselves to see where we are strong and to see where we may need to make course corrections, as we say, areas where we may need to spend more time, more attention, maybe adjust a little bit. So that's been a great help. And so I thank all those in that Pulse ministry and thank all of you when you get that phone call. Respond to it. It'd be great. It's a great help. You may think that you're just one voice, but you're an important voice in this parish. So I want to thank, most importantly, just thank all of you for all that you do. An annual meeting is always a time to just sort of stop a second and reflect on ourselves and feel good about ourselves and know that we have challenges as any community does to continue supporting and continue moving forward. But I want to thank you for all that you do, sharing your time, sharing your talent, sharing your treasure that supports our budget and makes so many things possible here. I am excited, as always, to be the rector here at St. Paul's. I've often said I think I have one of the best jobs in the Episcopal Church, and it's just a joy for me to be rector here as well. And look forward to an exciting year, 2012, together.